Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers next to me.
Good morning,
sir. It's good to have you back.
Well, yeah.
It was good having Jennifer Bowen in studio last week, but I missed you, man.
She did way too good a job.
She did.
She did a great job.
But your job is safe, so don't worry.
Well, that's good. No, I am going to probably miss another show or two before this is all over with. We're really going through a busy season, which I guess is good.
Right.
But, you and I are going to have a big day. You in particular are going to have a big day on Saturday.
Because I just love going to political events.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's right. During the morning you're going to be at?
Oh, all day, actually. Tomorrow I'll be at the Family Leaders National Security Conference.
Right. Right. And then Saturday night we'll both, Lord willing, be at the
Iowa GOP. Yeah. GOP event. And we'll have everybody. Actually, Jeb Bush is going to be in town.
Jeb Bush is
coming
in for that?
He's actually gracing us with his presence.
Wow.
So that's amazing.
Wow, that is amazing.
So yeah. We'll probably not see him again for another couple months, but he's coming into town this weekend. So
it's going
to
be
sure to catch him.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day, a wild day for you. You're probably going to be cranking out blog posts left and right over the next couple
now,
of days
now
after that.
Now you're raising expectations. Keep expectations low, Brian. That way I can surpass them every time.
The low expectations are on my part. When's the last time I wrote a post?
Well, that's true. That is true.
Anyway, it's going to be a busy day. It'll be a fun day.
Right, and we had some big news that happened this week. We saw the U.S. House pass. I don't remember the vote off the top of my head, but passed with bipartisan fashion the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. And on our newsmaker line, or VIP line, or whatever I decide to call each week, we have Marjorie Dannenfelser. She's the president of Susan B. Anthony List, and they've been really pushing this bill for months, trying to get a vote on it. And congratulations, Marjorie, for at least seeing a successful vote in the House. I mean, we got the Senate to come up next, but
And good morning, Marjorie.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Hallelujah on the vote. And, yeah, now on to the Senate, which is exciting stuff and really historic. It truly is. Good to be with you guys.
Good to have you on. So how long has this bill been in the works? I mean, it seems like, you know, I've been getting a lot of press releases from you guys for months, seems like.
Well, you know how when people in your family aren't kind of doing what you think they ought to be doing? I mean, maybe you've got a family.
I never experienced that at all.
Stuff and kind of does it exactly the way you like. Well, this, you know, family of pro-life friends and allies in the House decided to take the 5-month pain-capable bill off of consideration after much, much hype and great promotion that was leading up to the day of the March for Life. They decided that there were some issues that they needed to discuss. So, mm-hmm. You know, they chose quite a propitious moment to pull it from the floor. So, of course, in a family-like manner, we have worked very, very hard to get this bill back on course, back to the floor. It's people who work on the Hill say, and it's just true, and I can say it from a lobbying perspective, when a bill has been pulled, it becomes very, very difficult to get it back because so many other things take over. But so we also launched a pretty massive grassroots in-district lobbying campaign, and that matters because it always matters when your constituents care, you know, to help you do the right thing. And a little bit of discipline is always good in a family, and I feel like we did some of that, and we allowed them to be who they are. They voted for the bill last week, mm-hmm. a couple days ago. We were just thrilled. This is not legislating around abortion. It's actually protecting children at a certain stage.
Right.
At about 5 months. So on to the Senate.
Yeah. Are there any exceptions written in the bill?
Regrettably, there is a rape and incest exception.
Oh.
It was the only way it was going to be allowed onto the floor by the leadership. I mean, I say regrettable, I really mean it. Any child at any stage should be protected from conception, and certainly at 20 weeks, accepting anyone, it's just wrong. However,
right.
We know that 15 to 18,000 kids per year are aborted at that age. And so that's a lot of kids.
That is.
You know, that's a small town every year.
Right. And yeah, any step we could take to, you know, while I'd love to see abortion completely outlawed and see some sort of a personhood amendment or a human life amendment or whatnot to protect all human life, I'm also wanting to move the ball forward, and this, I think, does that. So,
well, that's why this is big. I mean, it really does. We're talking about the child and her or his rights now. We're not just talking about a procedure outlawed to kill him, or whether parents need to be notified before you kill him, or who pays for it, which are all important. This is who deserves protection. It's a really important question to ask and to be answered. And we really have the country behind us on this.
Right.
So,
except Hillary Clinton's not behind you.
Well, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Hillary Clinton's not a fan of this bill.
I know, which is great.
Right.
She doesn't want to talk about it at all. And that's where you want them.
Of course, right now she's not talking about anything.
Yeah.
Good point.
Her press person or senior advisor basically called the science behind this, what's the word she used? I'll just say iffy.
That's their talking point.
Yeah. So is this fuzzy science, or is there really sound science?
No. In fact, the people to ask are the surgeons who do prenatal surgery, who routinely give anesthesia to the baby before they operate, because, first of all, common sense tells you they might be feeling some pain, but also they know. They accept the science. They understand it. But, of course, it's not just about pain. Pain is something that human beings feel, and we don't want to cause other people pain. That's important to know, the pain. But most important, it's because they're of the human race and sent by God for a purpose that we ought not be in the way of. And even if you don't believe in God and you just believe in not killing other people who are vulnerable or anybody.
Right.
That's why it has so much momentum, and that's really why politically this is kind of stolen the center out of the war on women stuff.
Right.
Because it's completely abortion-centered, that meme, and it was just really obliterated in the past election, in these Senate elections. And so you really don't see the other side talking about abortion now. It's like a flip of the script from 2012. Mm-hmm. So you're right, Hillary doesn't want to talk about it, but neither do any of them.
Well, and we need to remind, the one thing Rand Paul did a few weeks ago that I thought was absolutely brilliant was how he turned the tables on them. When they're asking him about, I think it was about exceptions. He said, "Well, how about this? When will a Democrat not kill a seven-month-old preborn baby?" That was great.
It was perfect.
I got to ask a real quick question here, though, Marjorie. You mentioned earlier all right, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to just remind our listeners, you listen to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We've got Marjorie Dannenfelser on the line with us with SBA List. Go ahead, Brian. You're flustered.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I forgot where I was for a minute, so I'm really glad you reminded us.
Yeah. Well, this is for our listeners. But I just wanted to also ask, as far as turning the tables, we need to just kind of push Democrats on how extreme they really are.
Yeah.
And it just blew me away when Hillary Clinton tweeted out, one thing hasn't changed within the 40 years. This is my paraphrase, but basically doctors and women are the only experts. But I'm like, their expertise doesn't matter when they're killing unborn life. And that just blows me away. It's like, so you think under what circumstances is it okay to kill an unborn developed 7 months. I mean, that just, or younger. I mean, I would go all the way to conception, but 7 months, that's really extreme.
That's really extreme. And, you know, every listener today, everybody, all of us, we've all seen what a sonogram looks like, what a child looks like at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 months. And we don't call it a fetus when we are welcoming them, we, royal we, do, perhaps, if we think they're expendable.
Yeah.
So that kind of logic doesn't make any sense. There will be a day when I feel sorry for Hillary Clinton for not coming up with better arguments than
right.
that. And the other side, I don't feel sorry for him now because we haven't won yet. But their arguments are so bad in light of what everyone knows about the humanity of the child that it is again, like you say to your kids, if you think it's true, other people will see it too.
Right.
And the debate on the floor the other day was just unbelievable. It was fabulous. It's really worth looking at. The other side was flat-footed, and our side was just beautiful and bold and inspiring.
Great. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, when it comes down to the question of abortion, there's really only one question that matters, is when life begins. And mm-hmm. if life begins at conception, there's really no reason you can give that would excuse abortion,
yes.
period. So I want to give Brian a chance to get his question in since I cut him off.
Marjorie, you mentioned earlier that the only way this bill was going to move forward was because of leadership was if it included exceptions. And
yes.
I guess I am right there with Shane. I'm all about moving the ball forward. You know, we didn't get where we are overnight, and I don't think we're going to turn it back overnight either. So I'm all about moving the ball forward. Having said that, what's it going to take, in your opinion, to get the folks in leadership to understand the issue of life consistently enough to see that exceptions are just intellectually, mm-hmm. first of all, intellectually, they're just utterly inconsistent with,
yes.
with the pro-life position? So
I think it's going to – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, it's going to take winning. I mean, I really mean that. And that's what we're in the process of doing.
Mm-hmm.
This shift, and this is truly answering your question, I believe, going from 2012 to 2014 in these elections that we just saw, we had unapologetic pro-life people who didn't talk about rape and incest. What they talked about was late-term abortion and the humanity of the child. And they won hands down. There was a huge sweep. I believe it's going to take winning the presidency for there to be a little more injection of courage, which will be required to understand the consistency of life that you're describing. And what happens when this debate is seen on the national stage and people are looking at those arguments back and forth between the candidates, and when they do a good job and then that president wins, all these candidates, by the way, all of them, have said that they will make this a priority when they're elected. But I think it will take winning and being on offense and being like what, frankly, Lindsey Graham is now, which is like a joyful warrior going in there and boldly arguing this, because you have that confidence of knowing you're on certainly the right side and also the right side of history, and that you won't have to sacrifice, you know, your own career. You know, that is just what it is,
mm-hmm.
In order to do the right thing.
Well, do you think at the end of the day that's what this is all about for a lot of those politicians, that they realize this is an inconsistent position to take, but they take it because they think it's a political reality?
You mean the rape and incest exception?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's why. I think that they think that they can't get, that they will lose if they don't. Most of them don't believe in it in principle. Some do, which is completely, just as you say, intellectually dishonest. But most of them don't. And I think that, you know, sometimes, especially when you're in that insular world on Capitol Hill that's not in touch with reality, you make sacrifices you don't need to make. Now, but the most important thing, I believe, in that check on reality is what you guys are doing and what everybody on the radio is, I hope, planning to do, which is calling up their senators and saying, this is what I want. This is what I want. And mm-hmm. and that consistent hearing from constituents will always build up courage and help them do the right thing. I think you're right. It's a political judgment. It's not a principle judgment. And I think they made the wrong judgment, but we would have no bill at all and no 15,000 children saved if we had not allowed it to move forward with the exception.
Very true. And fortunately here in Iowa, at least within our listening area, we have some pretty good representation with Congressman Young and Congressman Steve King. And, of course, Senator Joni Ernst and Senator Grassley.
Oh, yeah.
So,
she has been a star. She received a big gala a couple of weeks ago with her and nine of the senators that are newly elected. Just a great moment. And she, in particular, was a shining star. She didn't have any notes. She spoke from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's just who she is. not taking a position. You know, I know it's not neat politics in Iowa or anywhere else, but she doesn't have to do this. She wants to, and I'm very proud to have been a part of her election.
Yeah, and that was fabulous to see her beat Congressman Braley. We were very excited about that. So going on to 2016, as you look ahead, what kind of plans does SBA List have to play in Iowa?
Well, our job, as we see it right now, is to provide those injections of courage into all of our primary candidates. So our goal will be to, we've got statements from all of them, literally all, that say, yes, this particular bill, I will make a priority, I'll sign it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But what matters a lot more than that is whether they speak on the floor of the Senate when this bill comes up.
Right.
What matters more than that is when it comes into the state legislature in Wisconsin, Walker being strong and speaking out and, of course, signing it. So it's the walk that we're looking for now, and those
right.
would be the things that we communicate in Iowa about what we're seeing. We have a web-oriented thing where all of the information and everything we're seeing on the life issue about all the candidates is going to be constantly updated all the time. So
great.
All the good, bad, the ugly.
I think that's www.sba-list.org. Where do they stand 2016? Is that what you're thinking of?
Wow, you're amazing.
I do my homework, Marjorie. I do my homework. So
that was great.
Yeah, we are almost out of time, so I'm going to give that again. That's www.sbalist.org. /where do they stand 2016. That was Marjorie Dannenfelser on the line with us. SBA List. This is Shane Vanner with Brian Myers. We'll see you in a bit.
Thanks, Marjorie.
Thank you. That was fun.
That person brings out the worst in me. I never act like this with anyone else. Sound familiar? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Many want to know how some people know how to push their buttons. But the more helpful questions to answer are, who gave them access to their buttons? And what makes those buttons work? Too often we fail to look at ourselves when someone provokes a response from us that we do not like. We are fixated on blaming them for being good at bringing out the bad in us. But where does that bad come from? The Bible says that it is our sinful desires that keep conflict going. Could it be that the button pusher might actually help you see what is really on the inside? If someone's pushing your buttons, why don't you take the time to stop by our counseling center here in Ames or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. That's crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for caffeinated thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, and Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029.
800-800-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So, yeah, I love it when you do that, Brian. Thank you. And, of course, Brian is co-host next to me here. And on the line, we have a very special guest. All of our guests are special. Just have to say that. Dr. Karen Ephraim, she's the president of Education Liberty Watch and the executive director of Florida Stop Common Core Coalition. And you're also, you have an MD degree. Do you actually practice medicine still?
No, I don't practice still.
Okay.
I am a recovering pediatrician.
Recovering pediatrician. I was going to say, if you're still practicing, you were like mega busy. I couldn't even imagine. Because I know you're way busy with just what you're doing on education policy.
By the way, good morning.
Good morning,
Dr. Ephraim.
Yes, you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Very welcome. You have been very busy promoting. U.S. Senator David Vitter has put forth a bill called the Student Data Privacy Bill, or Act, or whatnot, and You've been kind of, this is actually one of the few things we've actually been excited about at the federal level as far as legislation. And Vitter's actually had it. Senator Vitter had an amendment that was actually pretty positive that got passed through the House anyway, or excuse me, Senate anyway, as well. But on data protection, first of all, why do we need this? Just pretend like I don't know anything.
I usually do that.
I know.
That's a default position.
Right. I actually do know a little bit about this, but I figure I'd let the guest explain.
The National Center for Education Statistics and the Federal Department of Education have set up, through the Race to the Top grants and separately through the stimulus bill a few years ago, also called the Porculus Bill, something called State Longitudinal Data Systems.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's a federal prohibition on collecting data or having a national database, they set up these individual state longitudinal databases and are making efforts to link them. And the amount and type of data that they collect is appalling.
Right.
And and it includes social and emotional data. And it includes assessment data from these ridiculous Common Core aligned assessments,
right,
the national ones like PARC and SBAC, as well as some individual state ones that ostensibly pulled out of the national consortia and did their own thing with the American Institutes for Research, for instance.
And they were involved with Smarter Balance,
right? It's a very, very social, emotional-based company and not really much into academics. So that's one issue. And another issue is that the end of 2011, the Obama administration rewrote the regulations on FERPA, the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, and gutted the privacy protections that were there. So what Senator Vitter's bill does is both restore the regulatory weakening and actually goes beyond it in protection, and it prohibits psychological assessment and surveying, not only in surveys, but in actual academic assessments, which wasn't the case before. So it's a huge, huge step forward,
right,
in protecting the hearts and minds and privacy of our students, our families, and teachers.
Great. And just a point to make, or at least an observation, I want our listeners to realize the Obama administration, again, by regulation, weakened a federal law. So this is something,
right,
that they like to put, kind of circumvent the law on numerous things, not just education, but this is something they're in the education realm that they're famous for. So they did it with FERPA, even the American Reinvestment, or American
ARRA. What's reinvestment and stimulus
recovery,
recovery Act. Yeah, stimulus package. Even what they did with Race to the Top went beyond what Congress stipulated. They basically, Congress wanted, you know, the earmark within the stimulus package just to be for the strengthening standards and assessments, state standards and assessments. But the Obama administration went forward and said, oh, here are four priorities that you must embrace. One of those would be in context of what our discussion today, you know, the database system. To be able to, you know, collect that data so you can see the great work that you're doing, so you can, and in their minds, so you can develop better, you know, better curriculum, better tools, better, you know how to better teach to these kids, because we need all this data so you can do that. Even though just a classroom teacher, if he or she's any good, should be able to know how to do that without having all this data, right?
Exactly.
And any can we think of any good reason why the federal government would need this kind of data?
Do we hear the crickets chirping there?
Not a good reason. I know the reason that they do it, but
it's
not a good reason.
Right.
Well, Dr. Ephraim, in your opinion, is this business of data collection, is this starting to get out there now on the radar of the general populace? I mean, are people kind of waking up to this? Because I know the first time I heard this, I was like, are you kidding me? We've got data collection going on as part of education. I mean, and my first reaction, my default position, of course, is, so the government is collecting data on us. What could possibly go wrong? And I just kind of wonder if in your estimation that this is, you know, starting to get some traction with people. And they're, you know, and you're seeing the possibility of some pushback by the voters.
I do. The best example that I've seen of it is the enormous negative reaction to the InBloom database.
Oh yeah.
A year or so ago, when very right-wing and very left-wing organizations joined together and said, not with my children, you don't. I mean, you had
I love it.
Very conservative,
I love it,
organizations and the ACLU joining together in lawsuits to stop this. And I do think it's a huge reason. It's also a big part of the opt-out movement, because parents are very leery about having their kids' data through these assessments that are supposed to be academic but aren't, collected by the state, knowing that it goes to the federal government.
Just a quick intro here. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We got Dr. Karen Ephraim with the Education Liberty Watch, as well as the Florida Stop Common Core Coalition, on the line with us. And we're talking about database, our data, student data privacy. A question I had, as far as want to back up here. I know the federal government, on a couple different websites, they have 400 different listed data points. Currently, that's not mandated, correct, for states to collect?
They are. It's a framework. It's a kind of example, mm-hmm, of what people can do, and they say that's not a mandate, and they say we're not managing that. This is just, they're just trying to supposedly standardize the data elements. But you have to ask why in the world people need to know the kid's bus stop location, or you know, voting status of the family, or
do we know if that information is currently being collected anywhere? Do you have any examples of that actually happening at the local level right now? Or
I haven't looked at the local level, because I've been concentrating more on the state and the federal. But I do know, for instance, in Florida last year or the year before, there was an example of a school district using retinal scans.
Yeah,
for
it was in Tampa Bay area,
bus
wasn't it?
Security. Yeah,
because that's not
and
creepy.
It was, and then palm scans for lunch or breakfast programs, and it's that kind of thing that they just assume
it's okay
that every piece of data and every aspect of a child and family's life belongs to the school.
Right.
Retinal scans and palm scans. See that? Retinal scans and palm scans on children.
Yeah. That's not eerie at all, is it?
Okay.
No,
surely there were people in the street marching over that.
Yeah, that got a lot of blowback, that particular...
These people
that
thinking?
That got national attention.
Retinal scans? I hadn't heard this one.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's unbelievable. As far as I know I personally have not seen any news as far as what kind of data collection has been associated other than the academic scores out of Smarter Balanced and Park. Have you seen any examples of any? Because, I mean, they just haven't. They haven't necessarily released any of that information that I've seen anyway. Have you heard anything?
No, but that's the problem because there's such a veil of secrecy around these tests. I mean, we have examples of school districts and actually the state that makes children sign a document saying that they won't speak about the test questions, which is actually illegal because minors cannot enter into a binding contract.
Right.
Okay, forgive me.
What kind of stuff?
What is the justification for that? Could they ask for that?
Test integrity and
test integrity
as well and security also just copyright information so kids don't violate. For instance, I know, and we're not gonna be able to talk about Jeb. Dang it, we're running out of time. Brian looks so disappointed. But as far as
we talk about him, it would be a lot more lighthearted than this.
I know we'll have to have you on again sometime to talk about Jeb specifically because I want to hear about all the great reforms that he did in Florida for U.S. governor, and I'm rolling my eyes as I say that.
You can also talk about the great reforms, the real reforms that he and his foundations are blocking that we are trying to do.
Right. Yes. Yeah, we don't have enough time to get into that. I really want to, but as far as data collection, I mean, I know when I talk about data collection, people are quick to, they're pulling out the tinfoil, they want to make a hat, and I want to avoid wearing those. But on the other hand, I see there are a lot of question marks. We don't know what's in this assessment because they're not forthright with that. The federal government did ask Smarter Balance and Park to provide student-level data. Why? They've not explained
right,
that.
Exactly.
And how's that being transferred from the state to the feds? None of that's being answered.
Well, you don't have to wear a tinfoil hat to see this as a big problem.
And here in Iowa, I'm just asking the questions. Why? Iowa Department of Education, did you know about this memorandum of understanding Smarter Balance had with the feds? And they were like, So anyway, we need to keep asking questions. Thank you, Karen. We're out of time. That was Karen Ephraim. Stop Common Core, Florida Stop Common Core Coalition and Education Liberty Watch. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Thanks, Karen. Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
That person brings out the worst in me. I never act like this with anyone else. Sound familiar? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Many want to know how some people know how to push their buttons. But the more helpful questions to answer are, who gave them access to their buttons? And what makes those buttons work? Too often, we fail to look at ourselves when someone provokes a response from us that we do not like. We are fixated on blaming them for being good at bringing out the bad in us. But where does that bad come from? The Bible says that it is our sinful desires that keep conflict going. Could it be that the button pusher might actually help you see what is really on the inside? If someone's pushing your buttons, why don't you take the time to stop by our counseling center here in Ames or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. That's crosswalkcounseling.org.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or check out crosswalkcounseling.org. And this is the time of our show where we talk about, you know, news that hopefully you can use, our news rundown, and Brian has a story he wants to share.
Well, of course, everybody's aware this week we had that tragic Amtrak train crash.
Right.
A number of people lost their lives, and over 200 people were injured. And, of course, it was, it's tragic. In addition to that, of course, there's a lot of questions about what happened, because apparently the train was going twice as fast as it was supposed to when it hit that curve.
Right.
So there's a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of speculation, and so on and so forth. Anyway, so Speaker John Boehner, I think this was yesterday, at a presser, some knot-headed reporter asks him if there's a cause and effect relationship or something along those lines. That was what was implied between the lack of funding for Amtrak and this terrible wreck. And Boehner kind of lost it for a moment. It was one of those times when you go, yeah, Speaker Boehner.
That doesn't
happen very often.
No, it's usually, what are you thinking?
But that's what he said. He said to the reporter, he says, are you really going to ask such a stupid question? I mean, just dress
reporters
the guy down.
Reporters need to be asked that more frequently, and politicians need to stop answering stupid questions. You can get me on a whole rant about this.
I wish we had an audio clip of that. That would, you know, my bad on that. We should have had one. But
yeah,
you know, it really was a classic. Only some knothead on the left or their willing accomplices in the media would ask such a stupid question. We have this terrible wreck with something obviously having gone wrong, and they want to talk about lack of funding being the reason behind
it. Yes, because the lack of funding made the train go faster.
And if you really want to get down in the weeds on this, study the history of public funding for Amtrak that goes back to, I believe, 1968. Just read about it.
Yeah.
On to the next one here.
Marco Rubio shows Jeb Bush how foreign policy is done. That's an article in Daily Beast. And actually, if you want to check out, believe it or not, an article in the Daily Beast that I actually agree with, check out Rubio's speech to the Council on Foreign policy at caffeinatethoughts.com. We've got the YouTube video up on that. But anyway, the author writes, just he has a pretty nice summary about how Rubio handled himself. This was his first foreign policy address. He says, in an hour before the council, he spoke about everything from Filipino typhoon survivors to keeping South China Sea transitways accessible. At one point, corrected longtime broadcaster and forum moderator Charlie Rose about the extent to which there are Iranian fighters in Iraq. And he got into details. He condemned Iranian efforts to develop a long-range ballistic missile capacity, a specific gripe of hawkish Iranian experts that doesn't get much attention. He said the conditions don't exist for a two-state solution, that the VA system needs to be reformed, that he's open to Ukraine joining NATO. Compared this to Jeb Bush's first big national security speech in February before the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, where Bush mispronounced Boko Haram, misidentified Iraq, mistakenly placed the size of ISIS, and couldn't remember the title of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Jihadi. Which is why I'm not running for president, because I'd have a hard time. You know, I can't even say Rosaria Champagne Butterfield.
You didn't even get it right.
Right?
Time.
See, I can't run for president anyway.
No, but this is a classic moment, because people are seeing that Marco Rubio is a guy of substance. He really is on foreign policy. This guy is the guy right now.
Right, and foreign policy, especially after 8 years of the Obama administration, is going to be hugely important, because this president is going to need to repair all the damage that's been done over the course of 8 years.
Yep.
So and unlike domestic policy, which also you have to work with the legislative branch, the executive branch really has a lot of sway, and they can do a lot of
big
damage
time. Big
without
time.
The legislature being involved. So,
or they can do a lot of good.
Good, yes, exactly. So it's we can't discount the importance of foreign policy in 2016. Speaking of which, I'll just go to the John Bolton is not running for president, because that's kind of what he in 2012 when he was considering running. That's kind of what his focus is. That would be his focus in 2016. But he decided he's not running. And I'm like, that's good, because frankly, I didn't see anybody lining up to support him. Nobody was crying out for his but the fact is,
this groundswell of support for John Bolton.
But he doesn't need to get in there to champion. He doesn't need to be in the race to champion the issue, because frankly, the issue is already being discussed heavily.
Right.
Heavily. I have not been to a single stump speech where a presidential candidate or a prospective candidate hasn't addressed foreign policy.
Well, what I find interesting here is that, of all people, Carly Fiorina and Marco Rubio have kind of hijacked the leadership on foreign policy in the Republican Party.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rick Santorum's pretty strong on this, too. And in a lot of ways, he was almost, what's the word I'm looking for? He had a lot of foresight into what's going on.
Well, he was really strong several years ago. I want to give him that. He was one of the few out there that understood where we were at with Islamic terrorism and would address
but
it.
But I think he's been keeping it up. He's been keeping up on it. Anyway, you got to give him kudos, too.
You bet.
Moving on, George Stephanopoulos discloses $75,000 in donations to Clinton Foundation. Anyone surprised? No.
Where's the problem, George?
Where's the news? George Stephanopoulos is not unbiased. He can't help himself. There's no way. He's too closely tied to the Clinton administration.
No.
And I'm glad he's finally recognizing I'm glad he's finally recognizing that he should not have donated to that, but it wouldn't frankly matter anyway, cuz he'd still be biased. But he can't with integrity moderate ABC's GOP debate. Why the GOP is even allowing ABC to moderate a debate is beyond me.
Well, that's because, George apologized.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, Senator Rand Paul's been really pushing Stephanopoulos, and he said he should be prohibited from moderating any debates during the 2016 presidential campaign. And I agree. I'm sorry. He's biased. There's no way you can get a fair debate with him involved. Not at all. He's too closely tied to the Clintons.
How many people in the national media do not somehow fit that description? Though,
right,
however?
But this guy's obvious. I mean, he worked for Clinton, for crying out loud. So anyway, moving on. Ankeny Schools blocks access to Miracle Park. This is from WHO TV. A new all-inclusive park for children in Ankeny is causing some commotion after citizens reported being turned away from the public park during school hours. All right, this was an initiative led by several local organizations, including the Ankeny Miracle League, to offer an all-inclusive playground for children with special needs in mind to the community. To the community. It's a public park. It's owned by the city of Ankeny, the recreation department. The school district does not own this, okay? But it's situated between two schools. Probably not the best location, but anyway, that's what happened. The city of Ankeny signed an agreement with the Ankeny schools allowing them to have exclusive use of the park during the school day, unbeknownst to the rest of the community. So these parents are getting turned away. There was also a field trip of special need kids from Ankeny who were turned away at the park during the school day that are part of the Ankeny Community Schools because they didn't go to these two schools. By the way, these two schools have their own playground equipment. So this is just incredible.
You just don't understand, buddy. You just don't understand.
Yeah, evidently.
See, if you
school
were heavily involved,
should not have exclusive use to public land that's not owned by the school district, period. Because as a homeschooling parent, if I were a taxpayer in Ankeny, I'd be ticked off if I couldn't use that during the school day. They should have absolutely no authority over that piece of land, period.
Ooh, no authority?
No authority over that piece of land.
Well, you are an extremist, you know that?
And frankly, the city council members who actually signed this agreement with the Ankeny School District, they need to be held accountable as well. Because that was just, that money, that park was raised by private funds, okay? And I can't imagine Kiwanis and some of these other organizations that, you know, help pay for this realize that was going to happen. This is ridiculous. Anyway, simmer down. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
We'll get rid of the extremist here in a minute, folks.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa. And I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
That person brings out the worst in me. I never act like this with anyone else. Sound familiar? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Many want to know how some people know how to push their buttons. But the more helpful questions to answer are, who gave them access to their buttons? And what makes those buttons work? Too often, we fail to look at ourselves when someone provokes a response from us that we do not like. We are fixated on blaming them for being good at bringing out the bad in us. But where does that bad come from? The Bible says that it is our sinful desires that keep conflict going. Could it be that the button pusher might actually help you see what is really on the inside? If someone's pushing your buttons, why don't you take the time to stop by our counseling center here in Ames or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. That's crosswalkcounseling.org.
And And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhurst. Brian Myers next to me playing air drums, which is quite entertaining. Again, if you want to see the video of that, go to our Facebook
give
page.
Give it up. Give it
Facebook.com/CaffThoughts. Check out the videos. We have Brian playing.
You know,
air
I am
drums,
still so an admin. You can see. I can delete that sucker. You will never see it again.
Oh, but I've got it saved on my computer. All I have to do is re-upload. So anyway.
You are an extremist. You really
I am.
You know
I
that.
Am. You can see that. You can enjoy that for yourself. You can experience what I experience on a weekly basis. So I encourage you to do that. And like us. Because
why
we need
would
friends.
They like us now? Anyway. Okay. And now, we've come to my favorite part of the show, which is not, by the way, doing the air drums so that you can, you know, point people to that stupid video at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Anyway, we are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable, which, of course, my air drumming is not unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
Okay, this is from the HuffPost. Corey Gagner. Hey, how would you like that for a name? Or do you think it's pronounced Gainer? What do you think?
Gagner? I think Gagner.
Yeah, Corey Gagner. The 22-year-old El Jebel resident who drunkenly set fire to an Aspen sports bar while making nachos was sentenced to 3 years of community service on Monday for an unrelated crime. He will serve the sentence concurrently with a community corrections term received for the nacho incident.
The nacho incident.
The Aspen Daily News reports that Gagner's nacho quest began after imbibing 40 ounces of Jägermeister and 16 beers. All right,
how is he even able to stand up?
That was my
that.
Question. How does this guy even, you know, how do you get locomotion out of a body that's this?
Gosh.
Anyway, get this. Drunk and hungry.
Yeah.
Gagner
definitely,
first.
But really, emphasis on the drunk.
Yeah, emphasis on the former.
Yeah.
But it's about to emphasize the latter.
Right.
Gagner first searched for food at the El Jebel, City Market, and Wendy's, but both were closed. Rebuffed, he broke into the Fine Line Bar and Grill. The Fine Line Bar and Grill. We'll have to go there sometime.
In Aspen, yep.
He proceeded to drink more. I mean, this guy has a capacity. And he makes himself some nachos. Gagner placed onions, cheese, bacon, pepperoni, and 4 bags of tortilla chips into the pizza oven.
He was really hungry.
He was hungry. The pizza oven caught fire. It triggered a fire suppression system. The owners of Fine Line reviewed security camera footage the following day. An employee recognized Gagner and apprehended him after he attempted to flee, but he tripped on his baggy clothing. He was trying to flee the scene. His pants were hanging down too low. He tripped.
Well, he must have come back to the Fine Line then, because this is the following day.
Oh yeah,
unless he passed out and was still there.
That's true.
We're missing details, Brian.
I'm sorry. This is all I got.
Did
out
he
of
sleep
Huffpo.
There? That's you know. I'm surprised he didn't get caught when the fire suppression, you know, thing went off, and obviously probably got the. I would assume would
well,
have
maybe
brought
I woke him up though a little bit.
Maybe and he's like, oh, I gotta get out of here. Take some nachos with me.
Oh, man.
I mean, it sounds pretty good, though, what he was...
40 ounces of Jägermeister, followed by 16 beers, and that was followed by more drinking after he broke into the Fine Line Bar and Grill.
Right. I'm just thinking what he put on...
This
know,
guy is epic.
Onions, cheese, bacon, pepperoni. Those are epic nachos. I wonder if he took the chips... he must not have took the chips out of the bag, though, I bet. That's what caused it. Anyway...
I think we're going to have to pass on the quote of the day.
Yeah. We'll leave you with that profound thought and question. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
See you, everybody.